Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of Saint Monica, and this feast brings me particular delight. Most of you know that Saint Monica was the mother of Saint Augustine, Augustine the sinner, who became Augustine the saint. There's hope for us all, brothers and sisters. This is really quite the story. And I love it because Saint Monica, as I've mentioned before on this program, she persevered, like many intercessors, persevered through all kinds of situations that would have made me probably say, my prayer isn't good enough. The more I pray, the worse it gets. You've often had that experience too. And we tend to give up. Monica persevered for 30 some years for her son. She never gave up. And look, not only was he converted, but look what he became, one of the doctors of the church, one of the greatest teachers in the church. Monica's prayers were powerful. So all of you who are listening to this program, take St. Monica as a saint you want to imitate, men and women. She would not give up. The Magnificat magazine has one of those little thumbnail sketches that I wanted to share with you. He was born in 331 in North Africa to Christian parents. Monica married Patricius, with whom she had at least three children. She kept peace in her family, quelling her husband's rages with meekness and winning the heart of her mother-in-law with kindness. Pretty hard if you have a husband who's having wild anger fits. And her mother-in-law, she won them both over. Both were eventually won over to the faith. And after her husband's death, Monica sought after the salvation of her son Augustine. For 15 years, she pursued him with earnest tears, prayers, plaints, and laments. That's a quote. Tears, prayers, plaints, and laments. Augustine was received into the church in 386, and he became a bishop and a doctor of the church. And Monica died. Look at this. He was received into the church in 386, and Monica died in 387. Her work was done. It was a hard battle. And some of the things that Monica prayed for, especially that Augustine would not go to Rome, as I've often shared with you on this program, that was one thing, because she knew it was such a sinful place that she would be sure, and it would make logical sense, that her son would be inevitably lost if he went to Rome. And he did go to Rome. You'd want to give up praying, wouldn't you? But that's where he met one of the great saints in the bishop of Rome at the time. And he was converted. Take your need before the Lord. Pray and never give up praying. Keep asking the Lord, how do you want me to pray? Because if we say, Lord, do this, and that, whatever that might be exactly the wrong thing, because we don't have the whole picture. God does. So ask the Lord what you think is most needed, but always say to him, Lord, help me with this prayer, because I want to pray according to your heart and your mind. Help me. And he will. The first reading for today's Mass is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then 11 and 12. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, as is fitting, because your faith flourishes evermore, and the love of every one of you for one another grows ever greater. Accordingly, we ourselves boast of you in the churches of God regarding your endurance and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions you endure. This is evidence of the just judgment of God, so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. We always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, in accord with the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful, beautiful commentary by Paul. He's always caring for his flock. He's always reaching out to them. May God make you worthy of his calling. May he make powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. That's a wonderful prayer right there. Right there is a wonderful prayer to pray for your children, your grandchildren who perhaps have gone astray. Pray it. Pray it daily. Psalm 96 tells us, proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the earth. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds. For great is the Lord and highly to be praised. Awesome is he beyond all gods. For all the gods of the nations are things of naught. In other words, they come to nothing, but the Lord made the heavens. It's a good prayer. It's a good psalm to pray. Kind of gets us, you know, situated correctly again. Okay, this is who God is. This is who I am. He is my shepherd. He's my king. He's my father. He's my savior. I can rely on him. And we do that day in and day out. Do that. I think you're going to be surprised if you honestly do that every day, asking God to be for you everything you need that day. You're going to grow more and more sensitive to the stillness of his voice, the quiet of his voice. It's just a thought goes through your head and you say, wow, where did that come from? I'd never think of thought like that. But it brings you great peace and hope. Just trust him. Don't be looking, why isn't God speaking to me? Don't get into that. God doesn't come down and speak to you like you and I speak to one another. He could, but he doesn't. Most of the time, if you're praying the right way, he gives you a thought goes through your head, or you pick up a magazine, or you pick up a book, or you hear something on TV or YouTube or somewhere that you say, there's my answer. That's God. Acknowledge it. When you're given inspiration, when you're given clarity of direction, even if it seems to come just through human means, if you've been asking God for wisdom or insight, take that seriously. Test it out a bit, but take it seriously. God speaks in very quiet ways. There's no trumpet blast. Then we'd really be alerted. He wants to deal with us in the quiet of our hearts. He wants to bring us personally, individually to him. Open your own heart to his grace and his blessing. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 13 to 22, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. They were doing all the external things to, quote, make them look holy. And he calls them what they deserve to be called, you hypocrites. You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. In other words, you're shaping them into obeying the letter of the law and taking issue with everybody who doesn't do it exactly the way they think it should be done. It's called judgment. It's called hypocrisy, because oftentimes when people are speaking like that, they're not necessarily obeying what God is asking of them either. It's a vicious, vicious kind of circle. Don't get in it. Listen to the Lord. Listen to his word. Listen to the truth. Carry out your responsibilities. Be faithful. But open your heart to a deeper trust and a deeper faith, because he loves you and he's right here with you. Woe to you, blind guides, who say if one swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. See, they're making up all kinds. The Pharisees were making up all kinds of rules, just rule after rule after rule after rule. I think there was something like 600 and some rules. I'm not exactly sure of that, but something in that ballpark. How could you obey all of them every day? You became focused on the law. You became focused on the letter of the law. And they became blind and deaf so that they could not recognize the Messiah when he did come. If one swears by the temple, it means nothing. If one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say, if one swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it. The Lord is clearly saying, you're a blind guide. You're leading people just into a mass of confusion. You're making them judgmental. You're making hypocrites out of them. Another part of Scripture, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. I will give you rest. Oftentimes that burden are the trials and the difficulties that we encounter in life. But sometimes that burden comes because we got ourselves caught up in, I have to obey all these rules and I have to obey them exactly. And we get focused on the rules, we get focused on the law and not on the God of the law. How does God want us to approach his commandments? With trust. With openness, with sharing with him how we fail, asking for grace to overcome our failures, repenting when we fail, but seeking him day in and day out. Lord, you gave us these commandments because they would lead us safely home to you. Help us to draw near. And once a relationship with God, in a certain sense, once a relationship with you and your Savior, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But once that relationship is established, of course you obey the commandments. But it's not that you obey them because I've got to obey them, I've got to do this right, or I won't get into the kingdom of heaven. No, it's, Lord, I want to be more like you. So the commandments that you have given us help me to be more like you. And help me in turn to help others. That's why I want to follow them. For your glory and honor, for my salvation, and for the salvation of all those whom I love. Do you see the shift? May God abundantly bless you and lead you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.